testified of Jesus, testified of the power of God, testified that he should send his son into the world and what he would do. And Jesus came, you know, and he said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all that the Father give me, I shall do nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And so if we have this revelation, if we have this faith, if we have this hope given us, the way seems so plain. The knowledge of salvation and the things that Jesus did and accomplished seem so wonderful and so plain that it almost seems impossible that anyone could go astray or could refrain from believing just what the Scripture said. And yet, the testimony is that I have not seen, I have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he says he has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so you see what I said in the outset. That the two, one is the religion that seems right to men. The other is a religion which must be revealed from heaven into the hearts of the Lord's people. They must be quickened to know the need, to know that they're dead in sins. They must be born of the Spirit of God in order to be brought into the understanding. They cannot see the kingdom of God until this takes place. Until their eyes are open, the eyes of their understanding. You know, the church of the living God is in the world. That necessarily has to be. They have to be in the world. But they're not out of the world. This world is not our home, really, truly. The old brethren, it was said that they saw the city which was to come, whose maker and whose builder was God. So what are our prospects? We, each one of us, to some degree at least, realize that we live and we must die. Are we expecting to come into that great beyond there, claiming that by the works of our flesh that we deserve to be, and we will present those things unto, as people have it, or people understand it, they interpret it as a great court, and we will begin to say, we did this, and we did that, and you prophesied in our cities, you remember? And you remember that parable? But Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you, and all of those things. Are we depending on coming to heaven in immortal glory by our own works? All thousands and thousands upon thousands will die, will live and die, and come to that very place. They expect that the great things that I've done while I live, the donations that I have made, and the great buildings that I have helped to erect, that they will play a great part in my redemption and my salvation. There are thousands and thousands of men and women, as you well know, that have withdrawn themselves from the ordinary daily pursuits of men, brought themselves into convents, brought themselves into places where they feel that they can lose touch with the world and lose touch with sins, contemplate, pray hour after hour, read the Scriptures hour after hour, chasten themselves in one way or another. And the whole purpose of it is, and it cannot be any other way, than by what I do, to bring myself into favor with God. Millions and millions of men and women are that way. There are those who go about, and they are churchgoers, they're zealous for their religion, and yet, not having been brought, and I say this as simply and as sincerely as I know how to say it, that many, many who are sincere, earnest in their way, have not been brought to the knowledge of the truth. And therefore, their works, their ways, their manner of worship, which seems good to them, it has the approval of their fellow men, but it isn't the truth as it is in Jesus in many, many cases. Only those who have had the Spirit of God revealed in the heart. The Spirit begins a work in the heart and carries on the work. Takes them away from all self-confidence and to realize that if I am saved at all, it is simply and surely and purely by the grace of God and not by my works. And whenever you hear one confess that I am nothing myself, that I am unworthy, that God of heaven should look upon me because in my flesh that is in me, as the apostle said, in me, that is in my flesh that dwells no good thing. And often with the apostle he would say and would cry, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And his reply was, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is the characteristic, that is the testimony of those children of God who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light and whose trust is alone in the grace of God. Now I would not attempt to condemn any man in his religion, because I don't know. But what the man at this very moment, to this very day, they will tell me that I have enough righteousness to bring me into heaven. And I would have to deny it in any man. But how do I know? And I have no way of knowing until and unless tomorrow the Lord may turn that person around about just as he did the apostles of Saul and the apostle Paul. And then if he turns and he will confess just as the apostle did, that there was nothing good in him. He said, you see, it's the work of the Spirit of God that you believe. It's the work of God in every respect that the church has brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And so, Luke, Paul, Peter, John, and the others that wrote, they were concerned about leaving upon record the things that Jesus taught, the things that he preached. Do you know how, I'm sure you do, but I want to call your attention to this. Do you know the reason why you believe what Jesus preached, what Paul and the apostles wrote? Do you know why? It's because that Spirit of God, the Spirit that Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and he shall take the things of mine and show them to you. Now you believe because that Spirit has appeared in your full heart and has shown you the things that Jesus did for you. And that's the only reason you believe. Now that may be a far-fetched idea from the thoughts and the feelings and the understandings of many people. But my brethren, may God give us grace that rather than to take the opinions of men, that we be given grace to look unto out of God, to pray unto him, as often our cry is or our prayer is, Lord, if I'm deceived, undeceived. You know what it is to pray unto God? To be afraid that you're mistaken, and yet you have to pray unto your God to give you grace. Give me grace. How many times I have desired it if I am mistaken in the matter. If I've been running these 40, 50 years or whatever time it is now, been running and not having been sent of God, afraid that I have gone at my own charges, so to speak, how many times have I asked my Heavenly Father, I hope in the spirit of the matter, that if I'm wrong, if I'm going, if thou hast not sent me, cause that I shall never stand again before thy people, and cause unless thou hast sent me, unless thou hast qualified me, unless thou hast taught me the truth, and gave me the gift, so to speak, of standing and preaching and speaking in thy great name, I know that I could only cause trouble. So I'm concerned. I'm not concerned about the doctrine. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm not concerned about the doctrine that I have contended for these years. Now, the doctrine that's in the scriptures being false or untrue. The only thing I'm concerned about, my brethren, is, am I included in it? And I think I have had many soul searching. I've had many readings of the scriptures to find out this and that and the other, whether it is true or not. So as I come together this morning, my purpose has been, I hope it has been fulfilled to some extent, is to hold up the doctrine of Jesus Christ our Savior as the only doctrine, as the only name, and the only way whereby poor sinners are saved. And that they are saved because God loved them and gave His Son, sent His Son into the world to redeem them. As it said, He died for our offenses, He arose again for our justification. And so that's the only way that a person is saved. But they're saved with an everlasting salvation. For, you remember, I quote this and then I shall quit. Peter said in first chapter of 1 Peter, he said, "Who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith, unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And my brethren, if we are brought into that, if we're given that faith, if we're given those things to look forward to, the hope of eternal life, nothing can be more wonderful, more glorious, more comforting. And nothing but these things shall bring us into heaven and immortal glory.